Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Michael!
Oh, I cannot hear anything.
Oh, shit. Oh,
for fuck's sake.
I can hear Michael. The listeners can hear Michael.
Mute.
Michael can't hear anything. We could just listen to him mutter away to himself saying, I don't understand what's going on here. He's shaking his head. He's throwing his hands up in the air. He's moving backwards and forwards. He's got two fingers. The thumbs are up. The guns are up. He's pointing up. It's all good.
Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened there.
It's just a little loose cable or something.
We're out of practice. I was listening to Let It Be, Naked, the album, The Beatles.
You're listening to Let It Be, You're Naked.
No, there's an album version of Let It Be that is called Let It Be, in parentheses, Naked.
Ooh, why were you naked in parentheses?
Parentheses is a Greek beach.
I love that. It's a nudie beach.
Yeah. You don't want to be on parentheses, you want to be in it.
It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're back. That's it. That's the podcast done. Nice one. Excellent, I laughed. Yeah. I wanted to just read out a couple of things because we do get the odd email, Mike.
We do.
We've massive fans out there. Gary, he emailed to keithwalshpod@gmail.com. Hey, Keith, just want to say a quick thank you and that I love the podcast. You and Mike are great crack and one of the best podcasts I've ever come across. I work from home, so listen to a lot of podcasts. Keep up the good work. Look forward to more. Regards, Gary. Holy crap.
We love Big G.
Big Gary. I think he's foolish. Do you think he's telling us like lies just to make us feel good?
No, I think Gary's talking from the heart.
Straight up, guy.
Yeah.
Carl,
a lot of stuff.
Carl Patterson, who's a great friend of the show and a great guy himself.
Oh, yes.
Hey, lads, thanks for the happy tears. Have to say Mike's anti-jaxxers and Titty O'Brien were a couple of highlights. That was the pub I worked in, Titty O'Brien, and the anti-jaxxers. Oh, that was the Australian episode, wasn't it? He said, cheers, lads. Yeah, Flyman Galas. And Harry Hill is hilarious, says Carl. Yeah, I agree, Carl. I agree.
Yeah. Jewelry's still out.
Do you think he wears those shirts around the house?
Definitely.
I hope he does. I hope he wears them all the time.
Definitely. He reminds me of a guy called, I think his name was Bob Walton. I don't know if I've ever told you this story before.
No.
Who used to come to us in the hotel I used to work in before I met you. And I was lucky enough to be working with another concierge. And this guy came in and he used
to... Wait, hang on a second. You say I was lucky enough to be working with another concierge. Are you saying that it was better than work? Are you trying to say it was before you came when I was lucky enough to be working with somebody else?
I was working under this guy. I was only a mere desk porter at this stage.
And
he was my head. And he really put his wings around me.
Oh,
Bob, what a lovely man he was, a gentleman. hated most people. That's where I get my hatred of people.
Oh, Bob Walton was your boss.
No. Oh, Bob, okay. Bob, there's two Bobs in this story. Bob, okay.
Shit, I'm fucking Bob, lost Bob already. Gould.
Yeah,
I need Bob, to listen. Shut up.
I'm sure it's Bob Walton was this guy's name. If not, I'm using that name as a pseudonym because of what happened. So he used to come to the hotel all the time, and he used to wear humongous shirt collars. He was Texan, right? And every time he came in, he used to go to Savile Row to get shirts made. And he would wear it with the, I'm going to forget the name of the bow tie now, the Texan guys wear. There's a special name for the tie they wear.
Oh, yeah, the shoestring. Bowler. What?
Yeah. Is it a bowler? Bowler beer? Is it a bowler? Fuck, I don't know.
Bowler tie? You keep talking. I'll have a look.
Yeah. I think it's a bowler tie with a sort of like a head of a steer on it, you know, with the horns sticking out and whatever. And he couldn't have been any more. He wore really sort of conservative suits, but he had these humongous flared collars and he liked them. And he was a big sort of imposing, very tall man. And he'd often wear the hat as well, the old 10-gallon hat and cowboy boots, but he was just like an absolute gentleman. And I'm sure, I don't know whether I told you this story or not, but anyway, Bob turns up one day. And he said, guys, I just been to Scotland to see my ancestral home. I feel like I've told you this before. Anyway,
you haven't.
Okay, so at that point, he opens the suit jacket up and takes out this Polaroid picture of literally a bunch of fucking stones. And a sort of, you could see a walled garden around like this bunch of stones, and it just a little tithe cottage. So it was literally a tenth of an acre with his old ancestral home. And I went to see it and it made me cry. And my guys were crofters outside of Aberdeen, and they had nothing. And they made their way, got their asses over to America, made money. And I'm a guy, and he was in the oil business, as you would be. And so he said, myself and Bob were standing there going, oh, that's great. Looking at each other as if to say, like, what the fuck, you know? Yeah. And Bob's kind of, oh, that's lovely. What a great story. That'll be great to tell the kids. Yeah, guys. I you know what? I bought it. And I need you guys to ship it home for me. He was fucking like, and we were like, right. And I was about to kind of go in, like, to my, you know, ultra negative. Do you have any idea how fucking difficult this is going to be? And Bob kind of nudged me under the desk and go, no problem, Mr. Walt. We'll get that sorted. I'll get my best man onto it. Me. Onto it. So this guy would turn up every once in a while, right? My first sort of thing.
I just put an individual stamp on each rock. We get it to the post office. Weigh the rock. Put the stamp on it.
Well, about
50 stamps on the rock to get to America.
What a little bow. This one goes third from the left.
Yeah. 1A, 1B.
Well, you might laugh, but the first time I met this guy, he came in and he said, I want to get my wife something really nice. Michael, I want to get a Louis XVI sword. I said, why so specific? She was waffling on about some French shit. She wants to go to Paris for her 40th birthday. So we're going to go there and I'm going to give her this sword. And I ain't got time to go to Paris for it. And so I just thought y'all could get me one in London. So there was no internet. You had to go through the yellow pages and ring geezers up. And of course, everyone you rang added a tenner onto the fucking, you know, literally. I got your number from a geezer who got your number from a geezer who got your number from a geezer. And then you're going through sort of auction houses and stuff. And if they got anything, they'll sell out of auction. Or if this guy was not shy of spending money. So we got him a Louis XVI sword. The next year he came in, he said, I want to buy myself, my wife, something really, really special, Michael. Really, really, really special. What do you recommend? And I said, I'd only realized Camden Market was really good and sort of, back then, back in the early 90s, you could buy sort of retro-y stuff. And back in the 90s, it was kind of retro-y from the 60s and 70s. And I'd sent him off up to you know, off up to Camden, and the lads, my fellow concierge, go, why would you do that? Why would you send him up there? You know, he's not going to be able to buy anything up there. There's nothing that he wants. A man of that stature would want to buy.
He's not going to buy a pair of fucking bell bottoms.
No. And I thought, oh no. And I literally was in, I had the fear all day because I sent him off at like 10 o'clock in the morning. He comes back into the hotel about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. How'd you get on, Mr. Walton? You know what? I had a great time. There's something coming for me. Okay, guys. And you're going to have to FedEx it home for me, right? Okay. Yeah. No problem at all. When will it come? I spoke to some guy. They're going to deliver it this afternoon. And we had a little car park place where you could park a car outside the hotel, the front, which was kept for sort of drop-offs and drop-off. And up comes this geezer in a Camden tow-away truck, right? A car tow-away truck. And he's going, here, are you Mike? And the fucking, I started sweating. And there's all this tarpaulin on the back of it. I thought, he's bought a fucking classic car or something. He's done something. I said, I am Mike. Yeah, what have you got? He said, Bob told me to leave these here. I'm going to put them out here because I'm supposed to be working, fucking nicking cars up in Camden. So he gave me a ton to bring them down to you. You know what I mean, Michael? Lovely fella. Here you go. And he takes the tarp off and there's these two fucking London red post boxes on the back of the fucking truck. Puts like cranes them off onto our car park spot and goes, take it easy, geezer. Cheers, all the best, mate. I had to ring him up. I mean, these things are cast iron, and the bottom of them, because they didn't want to break them or crack the cast iron, but was the concrete. So these things were wobbling around out on the street, and I'm going, the fuck are we going to send those over? And Bob, my old buddy, the boss, is looking at me going, you fucking idiot. We're in a fucking world of pain. How the fuck do you think we're going to FedEx him to fuck?
What the fuck do you think Erwin Dawes is going to say?
Oh, yeah. Cause an uproar because we couldn't move them until the Monday. Couldn't get another vehicle to move them and actually take them to a container in Southampton to get them shipped over. He caused so much of a ball ache. But anyway, back to his house. So he's telling us with this kind of...
Send the house home. Go on, sorry.
He said, I need you to ship it home for me, guys. And we're going... I didn't know what to do or what to say. And I thought, I'm not going to get involved because the telephone box issues were, you know, there were ramifications for that for fucking months. I nearly lost my job and everything for blocking the fucking Queen's Highway and all this old bollocks. But anyway, so he, Bob said, well, you need to go downstairs and get the Yellow Pages out. And at that stage, we had a telephonist in the basement, and she had all the Yellow Pages for the whole of England, Ireland, Scotland, and, you know, England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales there. So we're looking at this picture, and that's all we had, this fucking picture, somewhere near Aberdeen. So I thought, right, I'll ring a builder up in Aberdeen. So I rang a builder up in Aberdeen, and I don't know if you've ever spoken to anybody in Aberdeen, very thick, unintelligible accent, and they speak like they have a kind of a different language up there. So I go, do you know any specialist builders who can take a house down? Because it needs to be re-erected. He wanted it back on his ranch in Texas. I don't know, but there's a few lads like work out in the rigs here who can do the job for you. They'll have to wait. So I had to wait 2 weeks for these two lads to come ashore to ring me. They rang me and said, listen, we're off to Spain now, and I've the children with me now for a week because I'm getting divorced. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, I don't want your life story.
Yeah.
And can, like, you?
Can you do it? What I'll do in my next rotation off, which is a month from me, I'll get that done and we'll get on it. So we just left these lads do it. And they were specialist builders. You know, they weren't just roughnecks out on a rig. They were specialist builders who didn't do this sort of stuff specifically, but they took it down and catalogued it and put it into two shipping containers and shipped it off to the ranch. Heard no more about it. Standing in the fucking lobby one day, in walks Bob.
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 You heard the Spurs chinking first.
Hey, guys. And the first thing I said to him is, you've got an Aer Lingus tab on your bag. And he goes, yeah. The whole Iran-Iraq, Kuwait thing is kicking off. And I got ancestry, in Scotland. And I knew that Ireland was part of Scotland. So, we're neutral. So I decided to come in, like, via Dublin, which I think is the capital. It's the capital of somewhere anyway. So I just got a shuttle over here, and it's awesome. But nobody's going to blow one of their planes out of the air because American Airlines is going to get shot down if we go anywhere near the Middle East. I'm going, you're another 4 or 5 hours at least to fly over there. And he took out one of those fucking notebooks that you used to have, the little diaries.
Yeah.
And when you open them up, they would have a metro system, like the
Filofax kind of.
Yes. Yeah. And the next two pages would have a picture of the world. Sort of out, and there'd be Europe on one, America on the other, and the South. And he was flicking this page, going, look, Michael, it's only 2 fucking pages away from where we are. I'm not flying over there. It's 2 fucking pages away. And this guy had more money than sense. And he said, guys, can you get my stuff up to my room? We got an issue. I said, oh, what's the issue? I got 2 containers full of rocks and no guys to help me. Can you get those Scottish guys to come over? So the 2 lads from Scotland, on their 2 weeks off, flew to to Houston or wherever it was, to Dallas, and off to wherever his fucking ranch was, and did the whole job for Bob. What a man.
For Bob, but I thought you were saying for Bob. What kind of money were you, can you reveal, Mike? What kind of money were they charged? Did you know? Or did you just put him in touch? What percentage did you add on?
Well, I did, I'm going to say relatively well out of it. I know that there was a profit of around, see, we had a trunk system in the hotel, so everybody had a payday. So Bob was on 10 points. I was only on 3 points or whatever, but I got a little bit of kickback for sort of being nice to this guy. So, yeah, I mean, I think we, between us, Bob let it slip one night when he was pissed, our Bob, that it was, he made about 16,000 on it. Ooh. Which was an awful lot of money. Oh. He bought a new fucking car. I mean, he kept the lion's share.
16,000 pounds.
Pounds, yeah. In 1991, when we were earning £120 a week. So it was a lot of money.
So in total, it might have cost your man, what, 20 grand in total for everything? Like to get the stuff shipped over, more?
No. We Bob skimmed 16 off it. So it's in the sort of, I'd say, 60, 70 grand to do Bob, this?
16 grand?
Yeah, 16,000.
Bob took for Bob.
Yeah. be easier if there weren't 2 Bobs in this story. But yeah. American Bob was probably into God knows how much the American lads or the Scottish lads were getting to fly to America and whatever. Obviously, everything was being taken care of. And it's not just a fact of putting it together. It's a fact of the taking it out of storage, putting it painstakingly back and making it look like the thing. And we saw him again and he was like, his wife was in ill health. And he said, yeah, we got it all up. Pity I didn't take a picture for you guys, but it's right in the paddock, right in the yard. So yeah, his fucking house, his Tide cottage from fucking Scotland all those years ago. Oh, I thought I told you that before.
No, never told me that story, Mike. That's brilliant. Bob, wow.
Yeah, I think all the lads must have made, we made 200 or 300 quid out of it a pop, every once in a while. And it kept our kitty inflated for a while. So we all made, Bob was good. Our Bob was good that way.
So there was money in the kitty and he'd give you he'd there was a few grand there and he'd add that back to the kitty every now and then. And you'd always, when would you get paid out of the kitty? Once a month or every couple of weeks?
No, once a week.
Oh, nice. Once a week. So you'd be going home with a couple of hundred extra.
Oh, you'd double your wages.
Yeah.
He would give you, the payroll would come round with your cash of £120 or whatever, and Bob would give you 250. Keep your fucking nose clean. And it was only a 52-bedroom hotel. Yeah.
Was it a nice hotel? If your mom was obviously wealthy, why do you...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a phenomenal hotel. It was one, hell. I mean, we had, it was a Michelin star restaurant. Back then, you know, it had one Michelin star. Brian Turner was the chef. You might know Brian Turner. Very nice Yorkshireman.
Never heard of him. But a Michelin star back then, when a Michelin star meant something, Mike.
Well, there is a bit, lots of people didn't put themselves forward for a Michelin star.
Okay.
I mean, it's only a marketing tool anyway. You have to put yourself out there, pay for to get inspected, and then hopefully you do, and then you get in the Bibendum Guide. So it's all, it's only a marketing thing. Lots of people say, oh, yeah, these people come in and just give me the star. They fucking don't.
No, they don't, no. But it is weird, isn't it? Michelin, we're going to make tires and give ratings to restaurants. You know, two things.
I think it evolved from their road guide.
That's right.
Like, they want, like the RAC, like the AA. Yeah.
So you get to give people, you know, nice restaurants to visit when they drove around Europe in their tires.
Yeah. And Egon Rooney. Do you remember Egon Rooney?
I do, yeah.
It was a big thing when we were in London. You'd go through the Egon Rooney guide to see what was hot and what's not. And he would write in Time Out. And he was a little French man that used to eat like a turtle. He was the most, like...
How do you know what he ate like?
What? You'd see him on television.
Oh, okay.
And he would be reviewing things on television. I'd seen him in various restaurants and stuff. But he ate like a... You know, turtles, they got this kind of beak. And he... Yes, I like... I really do like the soup here. Dirty fucking noisy eater.
He gone, Ronnie. Well, he gone now, isn't he?
I think he is.
Those bolo, they're called bolo ties. Yes,
that was bolo, said. Bolo.
Bolo ties. My father went to America once. My father used to travel a lot at work. And he came back from America once with a couple of those ties that he bought on a trip. I don't know, he must have been in Texas or something. And I used to fucking wear them.
Like, of course you did. That's no surprise whatsoever. You're looking like a liar.
No, I looked cool. So it was the 80s. It was late, very late 80s. I would wear my white shirt, a waistcoat.
Yeah.
Biker jacket over it.
Oh, my God.
Blue jeans.
Oh.
With turnips. Suede. Jalpers, Chelsea boots, fun. With elasticated sides, and the fucking cowboy bolo tie, as well. I used to wear that shit.
Yeah, well, Bono wore that sort of stuff. That was his get-up for a while, wasn't it? The boss, Joshua Tree, he wore a bolo tie and the waistcoat and everything.
Yeah, so it was around that time. Yeah,
I thought you looked like an extra, from Young Guns.
Had a bit of, was growing my hair long. It was Bono, that was it, the Joshua Tree, I forgot.
Oh, God.
Fucking hell, I looked cool. Yeah. Could you imagine me walking around looking like, just think of me looking like that, right? I'm walking around. Have you ever been to Athlone?
See, people were trying to drive at you to kill you.
I went to Athlone 40 years ago, or maybe a bit more. Yeah, not that long. 35 years. Well, definitely over 30 years. Athlone. Me walking around like that, like, Jesus Christ.
Looking like a tit.
Like, I used to turn up at, there used to be discos, you know, for teenagers. And I'd turn up at the fucking teenagers like I was going to fucking, like I was appearing on stage in fucking Las Vegas. I won a disco dancing competition.
Oh, Jesus.
And the prize was a bag of chips.
Oh
man, best bag of chips I ever had.
Oh, you remind me. You're like my brother. There's one in every family. I've got a brother who was like that. He used to wear sort of like Dillinger. Do you remember Dillinger trousers and Matinique jumpers?
Yeah.
Actually, I was out with my brother recently and he said, I had a lovely Matinique jumper one year. He said it had a lovely knit on it. I said, is it any fucking wonder he didn't hit you in fucking Limerick? Talking about a knit of your jumper. But you're letting your hair grow now, are you?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I decided to just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, Mike, but I'm growing the hair out for some reason. I'm going to have it long in the top. This is the plan, long in the top. I think a lot about these things, Mike.
Yeah.
Long in the top and nice and short at the sides. And then when this is long enough, it'll all sweep back.
Wow, that's Peaky Blinders-esque.
Yeah, Peaky Blinders, so I can just comb it all back and keep it nice. Like, I have a big widow's peak thing going on there. I've considered getting implants Just here.
You have not.
I have, yeah, yeah, totally, yeah. I don't know. I don't think I would. I don't think I'd spend that money. I don't think I could afford it. But if I could afford it, I would. I'd definitely get a few little, just to fill in that bit there and have like
You can see that they get very obvious, like. They're like a cornfield.
But they'd be obvious for a few. I don't need much. Like, it's obvious if, like, if you're Wayne Rooney, God bless him. I know he said God rest him, but he's still alive. Wayne Rooney's still alive, just if you're listening to this and you're a big Wayne Rooney fan. He had to get the whole lot done, so that was a bit obvious. But I'd only have to get little bits, you know, little clumps.
I think you're better natural.
I don't know, Mike. I have a massive forehead. I have a massive forehead, like a mostly forehead. Like, if you look at my head, it's mostly my face.
Well, it's not like Declan McPartland forehead. That is a huge handball alley of a forehead.
Actually, yours is not like that. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. No. Yeah. Okay. No. That's good.
No, that's good to know. No,
I appreciate that.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you're a 3/4 ant. I saw somewhere it was really useful to know when Ant McPartland was done for drink driving or whatever it was, that the last sort of chapter in his kind of downfall before he got his shit together, and fair play to him or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was very useful because now people knew who Ant was out of Ant and Dec, because nobody would have, you don't know who they are. I never know which one was which.
So what was the thing that made you not remember which one was which?
Because it was a picture of him crashing his car.
Oh, I always remember because Ant's are black and he's got black hair.
You get green ants as well. And red
ants. And red ants. Yeah, but like Deck doesn't have green hair or red hair. Do you know what I mean? He's more black hair. And it's definitely black now that he's had to start dyeing it. Which is fine. Mike, you don't dye your hair at all, do you?
No.
You've no grey hair, do you?
And I know, I'm letting it grow. What if you, I'm all over the shop at the minute, actually. And it's kind of, and my beard is coming out, and it's at the, my beard is the kind of the pubic stage now. It just it has to get a little bit longer and a little bit more brushy before I can actually style it.
Start working it.
Yeah, I'm fucking working it. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to grow your hair and style it like a bit longer at the top and short at the sides?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to let it go. I got obsessed with Paul McCartney's hair watching Get Back. Have you watched it yet?
Not yet, Mike. Not yet. But listen, I haven't read your short story that you sent me all those months ago either.
Yes, because you know. Shit, yeah, yeah.
No, but I tell you, Mike. I know you don't think I think of you, but like today, I was like, you know what? I'm going to read that today on my lunch break and have that read so we can talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. Totally, totally forgot.
Of course you did. Yeah. But don't forget about Get Back.
Okay.
Whatever you do in your short life, it will make it better. And I'm not a Beatles fan.
Okay.
So there you go.
I'm looking forward to watching it. But you're obsessed with his hair. I think you should grow your hair out because I think you've got good, strong hair. It would look good long. Have you ever had it long?
No, not really. No. I've always been afraid of long hair.
People with long hair or just long of having long hair?
I suppose it all goes back to Bono, doesn't it? Because he had quite long hair at one point and it really didn't suit him.
Mike, I don't think you like expressing yourself.
Maybe I've got issues, yeah. Maybe I'm not a great expressor of self.
But I think this is your time, Mike. This is your time to express yourself. Let the true Mike come out.
Yeah.
Grow the hair long. Grow the beard.
Yeah.
Start a band. Write a fucking album as good as...
Yeah. The Beatles.
Get Back.
To watch... to watch them write a song. Fucking hell.
What was the album they were writing?
Let It Be.
Let It Be. And they weren't naked.
No, but it was. I mean, you know, Don't Let Me Down on top of the roof. Oh, yeah. What a tune. I mean, you know, and it's just the way John Lennon, I just feel so sad. I feel so sad for him and I feel so sad for George Harrison.
Do you know, sometimes like I really want to watch this documentary because we as people, we put people like John Lennon into, we put them up on pedestals. We don't think of them as real people. And like, when you think of John Lennon, he was so fucking famous, but yet he was living in New York, I presume just in a brownstone or whatever. He wasn't, I'm sure it was a nice neighborhood, but he was just going about his day, living his life.
You know where the night of the museum was filmed?
Yeah.
Upper West Side.
Mm.
Just up there. I came across where he lived and where he was shot by mistake.
But he was just out there living his life, just trying to, you know, be a regular guy, you know, because that's what he was. That's what these people are, you know. And yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah, you listen to them talk about what happened in their youth and what, remember we did that, and remember we did this, and remember we did that, and that was really shit and whatever. But the thing I didn't get, and it's naive of me, and really it sounds really stupid, is that they were so into their music. George Harrison was so into that. And then Billy Preston turns up, you know, the keyboard player, the black guy, and he, and they're just, you know, they're not talking in, they're talking in F sharp, C major, D, I mean, and that's their language. It is remarkable, absolutely remarkable. I was blown away by it. And the stuff, Ringo, especially.
Yeah.
I just thought, wow. He's, because he often gets the, you know, who's the Ringo of the group kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when he just, oh, sublime. And then they all start swapping instruments. I'll play your bass for a minute. If you play piano and get Ringo on piano, I'll do the drums.
But it is, you know, sometimes because I have my guitar here beside me, Mike.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, I'm going to play it.
Yeah. Do.
No, I won't. Jesus.
Have you got it restrung?
Yeah, but it's probably out of tune. I'd have to tune it up and then people have to listen to me tuning it up. Probably. And I'm going to. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But so anyway, I have to relearn it again. But I, you know, often I think, I wonder how long I'd have to, you know, how long, what's the difference between me and say Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, the difference between someone like just, I can play chords. I could probably, you know, it's something you have to do every day, but the difference between me and like, they're obviously talented, but then on top of talented, they're obsessed. And then on top of that, they work extremely hard at it.
Really hard. I mean, your man is asking for band-aids, John Lennon, because his hands are bleeding from playing the guitar so much. They lose their voice. They're all smoking. They're all just, you know, there's no, and when playing on the roof, it's like, my hands are fucking freezing.
It's not glamorous, is it?
No, nothing was glamorous about it at all. I say the first bit made me feel sort of cold. And then they moved to Abbey Road, and it was really nice. It was a sublime piece of TV.
Well, that's our very first check it out of this evening's podcast. And was there anything else you wanted to talk about? Check it out wise.
Yeah, but I feel that I've hogged the whole.
No, you haven't. You people who have the best stories get to hog it. We never did, and I don't know if we can. It's Fergal's song.
Oh, fuck.
But not that, I'm not suggesting that we sing it or play it or anything, but maybe just as a, maybe eventually we'll get around to singing it or properly, but maybe as a nod to Fergal, just to even read it out.
Yeah. Have you got access to it there? I haven't.
I'm just scrolling back now to see if I can find it. So the thing was, we were talking about Ed Sheeran on one of the podcasts and Fergal Burke, Burgle Firk. Was listening, and he obviously knows is the producer of the show, and he wrote some lyrics. He rewrote the song. What's it called?
Raglan Road, wasn't it?
He rewrote Raglan Road.
Okay, well, where are we? We're on Pod,
and I am now scrolling through, and I just have to keep talking here because
yeah, I'm scrolling through as well because it's a long time ago he wrote it.
Oh, was this you singing it? Hang on a second, I can play this.
Oh, yeah.
On Monday night, on a new Keith Walsh pod, I turned in for the crack. It's Keith and Mike, his friend and Claire. They once worked in a hotel way back. They talked about the comics and pods and flicks. Look them up and check them out. A machine for your willy to check your blood pressure, and a smoothie from a jug to measure. Then in part two, they turned up the heat, spicier than a chickpea curry. Full-length mirrors and power rice, Love Actually and Die Hard. Tales from Down Under and Don't Look Up, stand up and try something new. But if your wife suggests it for a day, for a week, then that might be too good to be true. A solid hour of chats and reviews, top tips and New Year's resolutions. But no doubting the two big stories this week. Chalk it up, lads. No need for Hawkeye, Ed, Joy, and Jules.
You were doing okay, actually. Now that this is back to me.
I did it because I needed to do it because, you know, we had kind of ignored Burgle Firk the first time he'd written a song for us.
Yeah.
And I thought somebody had to do it. So I manned up, and I can't say that anymore. I personed up and sorted it out. Yeah, I just did that from my bed. I just got to go and turn down some. Just, can you hear music in your headphones?
Not really, no. Where's it coming from?
Fuck knows.
This is the missus. She's got the music up. She's dancing in the kitchen.
She has, yeah. Give me a second there.
Okay.
I just can hear it.
I'll just chat away here. This was me trying to play the guitar from Mike. What's that noise? Some screaming in the background. Come on, Keith. There it is.
On the Raglan Road on an autumn day, I saw her first and
That was me. that was me trying
to. Yeah.
That was me trying to do Raglan Road. Yeah, sure. Look, I have a long way to go, you know. But sure, at least
you did it with your guitar and everything. I must get my ukulele out, and we could do a duet.
Is that a euphemism?
No. But we can sleep together if you want.
I can get my ukulele out and we could do a duet, or we could just sleep together. Or we could just have sex. That'd be fine too. So what was the story with the music there, Mike?
The music, I don't know what had happened there. Hey Google had turned itself on.
It was playing
RTE Gold. And as we were talking about the Beatles, all I could hear was Ferry Cross the Mersey. It's like, what the fuck is that? I thought my iTunes had come on or something because we had technical issues at the beginning. I thought something had gone horribly wrong.
No.
So have you been listening to or watching or reading anything very interesting?
Because can I go next?
Please do.
Check it out. Ozark.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
Ozark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ended it. Series three. I got into the new
one is series four. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got into an argument the other day with an American colleague of mine. I said, series four of Ozark's out. You mean season? No, I said series. No, the series are the episodes. I said, no, they're episodes.
The series are the episodes.
Yeah. But it ended up with the woman being shot in the head the last time. Don't want to give anything away. But
no,
I just have. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you haven't really, because lots of people get shot, and you don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like you're going to know which woman.
No. So it's out the first. They dropped it in two parts, have they?
Yeah. So there's seven available to watch now.
Okay.
And then the last seven. I think season four is the last ever season of Ozark. I think. But yeah, holy fuck, it's tense. That's stressful. Like,
yeah,
I'm watching it in bed. I shouldn't be watching it in bed because I can't. Like, my body is like buzzing.
Yeah, you're going to do yourself an injury.
Fizzing afterwards, and
but I'm sure Suzanne would like that.
Yeah, I should mention that to her. I just said I'm fizzy.
Buzzing.
I'm buzzing right now, darling.
I'm a human dildo. I'm all Ozark sparked up.
I got a lot of energy, nowhere to put it. You catch my drift. And she's like,
yeah, plug it in.
Sorry, son. I said, I've got a lot of energy and I've nowhere to put it. I don't, Suzanne. But it's like, I'm going to start saying now when I have a stressful day that I've had an Ozark of a day, because it's like the shit. I don't, hang on a sec. Hello? Oh, you got a bandage. Oh, cool.
Jesus, he's got a bandage on his knee.
I'll tell you about our trip to A&E. Oh. That's Finn got a bandage on his knee playing football. And
looks good.
He got a bandage on his knee from an injury he got playing football.
Fantastic.
Looks cool, man. Love it.
Yeah, well done.
You can't call your son man, can you?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, of course you can.
He calls me man.
That's okay.
You're talking to, yeah. But Ozark, yeah, because the amount of shit that's going on in there, they're like spinning plates. And Finn, you're going to have to take Charlie out. Charlie, sorry, you can't be on the podcast. I know. Get your own podcast, Charlie. How about that? I said, how about you get your own podcast? What? Don't talk to me about that. Don't back chat me. So there's so much. I don't even know how to describe it, but there's so much.
It was never an easy. It was never an easy watch.
No,
it's really, really good, but it's very, very rich. You can only do one at a time. It's not the sort of thing you can binge to, because there's an awful lot going on, and it's really fucking tense, and you're wondering who's going to be killed, or who. They're just teetering on the edge of destruction
all of the time. Every second of every day. And when you just when you think it can't get worse.
Yeah.
Actually, the only way it can go is worse. Like, there's never a moment where you're thinking,
no,
but if they just did this, that would fix it all. Because they can't fix it all. And then your one is getting, the wife is getting more sort of political. So she's trying to, like a lot of these people do when they get into bad shit, they try and do lots of good shit to sort of make themselves feel better. Offset. And show the world. Like, she's basically a narcissist, you know? So she's like, oh, but look at all this good stuff I'm doing over here. Forget about the dead bodies. And she's also trying to control her family. Like, her children are kind of, they're privy to what's going on now. Mm. And she's trying to, like, imagine if you were involved with some bad people. Like, I'm trying to explain this without giving too much away if people haven't watched it at all. But if you're involved with some bad people and your children knew you'd done some bad things, imagine trying to tell them to go to bed.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Go to school. How can you say that? Yeah. But you just murdered someone, Mum, or you got them hit, or somebody got hit because of something you've done or whatever, and we're hiding money under the floorboards, and you want me to go to school and somebody's shooting at me.
Or make me. I'll just tell. Make me go to school. Cops, I'll just tell the cops what's going on.
Yeah. So come off Netflix. Make me. I'll shoot you. Yeah.
So imagine series 4, where all that's going on, the kids know about it. Imagine as the writers, you're sitting down going, "What the fuck?" Like, the kids could basically do whatever they want.
Mm.
Will they?
They can ruin it. Yeah.
They've got serious problems, and those problems live under their own roof, Mike.
Literally, her brother came at one point.
Yeah,
she's always got troubled brothers. She was in Love Actually, and her brother was troubled. Do you remember?
Was she in Love Actually?
She was in Love Actually, yes,
because she was in The Truman Show as well.
Yeah, she was in Love Actually. She played the lady who was madly in love with a co-worker, but had a brother in an institution.
Ah, okay.
And yeah.
Don't give it away. People might want to watch that. When do you stop? At what point do you allow to talk about a film without worrying about spoiler alerts? You know what I mean? Like,
well, Love Actually, nothing really happens.
Like the Bible. You have to be careful about the Bible.
Don't tell me about the Corinthians.
What happened to Jesus? Well, he got crucified. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but then he rose again. Spoiler alert.
I was going to watch that.
Yeah. There's no way he can come back from it. Oh my God, the tomb is open. Season 3 coming up.
That was the best bit.
That's definitely going to be fucking Disney.
Oh man, the story of Jesus on Netflix. I would watch that.
The it's fantastic stories. Brilliant. Loaves and fishes. I mean, the big one. Back in the 50s, they did Moses and all those.
Yeah.
Jesus of Nazareth. They were phenomenal. We'd watch them on Good Friday afternoon, waiting for the skies to go dark. The priest told us the sky would go dark at 3 o'clock, because that's the time of our Lord.
Yeah, Jesus died.
And we always used to convince ourselves that it was going dark. It's gone through dark at 3 o'clock. Oh, rock. being crucified now. Mary Magdalene, the bitch.
I think the sky's gone dark. I don't know. I'm hiding under the bed. Mary Magdalene, the bitch. Yeah. Yeah. Because all women were, it was the women's, anything bad happened was the women's fault.
Oh, yeah.
All
yeah.
The men were trying to save us. But that's Ozark. Check it out. What have you got for us, Mike? Do you think this podcast we should just like call it the Mike and Keith review show?
Well, funny you should mention it, because I nearly punted my radio out the other day because I was listening to somebody doing a podcast review about two podcasts that I'd listened to on radio, on a national radio station. I'm not going to give it away. And the people who were reviewing started saying that this is really good and obviously hadn't listened to these things to the end.
Oh.
So, but they were, and then the guy asked them, so what is such and such? And they went, well, yeah, it's a great question, really.
That is a great question. Do you know why that's a great question? Because I haven't got a fucking clue. Because I didn't read it or listen to it.
I nearly fucked it up and went, I just thought, fuck's sake, have the decency. If you're going to fucking, you know, we've often done this, but we're not purporting to be people who review things. You know what I mean?
No.
I have often kind of come in and said, listen, I watched half of it. It's fantastic. And then
can't remember any of the names.
Yeah.
So who was your favorite? That's a good question.
And I listened to this thing and it was like, and it was one you've listened to, I think, the rising storm, the coming storm.
Oh, the storm. Yeah. Is that the storm? The one you sent me?
Yeah.
On BBC Sounds. Yeah.
Yes. Which was great. But it was like, you know, explain QAnon to me. Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's great. Yeah. Anyway. It's terrible. Anyway. So, yeah. So what have I listened to? Lots and lots and lots of stuff, and I've been watching stuff, and I must admit, you tell me to watch things sometimes and I don't watch them, and I was put off Ted Lasso because of what it's about, right? So stupidly, these same fucking people who I listened to had told me what it was about, which instantly made it like I didn't want to watch it, right? What they didn't tell me is it's probably the most uplifting 10 hours of television that you're ever likely to watch. And we could all do with a bit of Ted in our lives. So I'm urging people who would like to watch something uplifting, funny, stupid, to watch Ted Lasso and not to get bogged down in reviews of it, because people, the subject that it is, sporting, let's say, is Marmite. People love it or hate it. But I was talking to somebody else about it, and it was just like, it's not the best acted thing in the world. The action isn't the best. The jokes aren't the best. Nothing about it is the best, but it's just the way it is put together is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we are addicted now to Ted. It's him, you know, it's him. It's not actually him. It's Nate. It's Coach.
Beard. It's Coach Beard.
Jamie Tart, Trent Crim from The Independent, Roy Kent, fuck off. It's just these people, it's kind of crass and bad, but it's fucking...
It's like a cartoon, sort of, like they're all cartoon characters,
in
real life, because he looks like Hidley Doodley.
Ned Flanders. He even says stuff like Ned Flanders, but I don't want to spoil anybody and put people off by saying he's not Hidley, but he's not, but he is, and he kind of, you know.
Yeah, oh. But it's okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. Yeah, it is pure escapism. You just put all your sort of preconceptions about whatever out the window. Don't listen to any reviews, just watch the fucking thing.
My sister put me onto it, and I knew, because she was like, well, it's about a football club, but and I knew if she watched it and liked it, I was like, well, it must be fucking about more than just the football club. She's not able to sit in a room if there's football on a television.
Same as me.
In the other room next door. Like she can't stand fucking football. Like she can't stand the sound of football. So she was
saying, and everything that surrounds it is just, but it takes it to another level. It's just fantastic. Even my wife, who would literally like she would be your sister by 100.
Yeah.
No. We started watching it, and we, I mean, there's been laugh out, like fucking crying with laughter moments of him. You know, it's just the throwaway comments. It's all, I mean, it's, you know, there's, you know, English versus America sort of thing, and it's just, it's really hackneyed, but it's just so fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Oh,
10
okay. Wow. 10. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
10 out of 10. 10 lasso.
And you see, the problem was, I switched my TV on the other night, right? This is how we started watching Ted Lasso. And my TV said, we're updating your apps on your TV. And if you update your Apple TV, you get it free for 3 months. So I went, okay, Coke, I'll have a bit of that. And the film quality, it's HDR and everything. It's phenomenal. So then we went to the morning show, which again, it must be a year and a half you recommended, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, come on, Mike. Finally.
Fucking hell. That's pure drama, like.
Yeah.
We thought that Grey's Anatomy was kind of good. But this, I mean, wow. The first season specifically, I think, can watch it standalone. The second one is a bit, it's finding its feet. We're only kind of getting into it now. But the first one, Jesus Christ. You don't realize how good Jennifer Aniston is. Or Reese Witherspoon. I always thought her as sort of bubblegummy, sort of whatever. And Steve Carell is just...
Oh, he's my hands down my favorite actor of all time.
Well, I mean, to put himself in that position as an actor.
Yeah.
Really, like, ballsy. And he does it so
fucking well. So well.
Oh, God almighty.
It just makes you think about, well, like, because you're watching and you think about, you're watching the morning show, but you're thinking about, you know, what's actually going on Good Morning Britain or whatever it's called these days.
Like, and have you noticed Good Morning Britain's always on behind them when they're in the offices? There's always...
because they watch the other shows from around the world.
Phil and what?
Holly. Phil
and the Northern Irish fella, what's his name? The big fella. Holmes. Eamon Steve, Holmes and the Peter, wife.
Paddy. Eamon.
Eamon Holmes. Who's gone to GBBs, isn't he?
Oh, geez,
GB News.
Yeah. Good luck to him.
Anyway, yeah, good luck to him is right. Do you ever watch GB News?
No.
Oh, you should watch it for the fun.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really right-wing racist. Anything goes. It's horrible television. But they're trying to justify it by being sort of like, yeah, but this is, you know, it's our country, guys.
Brits, it's for Brits. Oh, it's for true Brits. Yeah, it's true. Fucking inbred wankers. But a lot of it, because, Mike, I watched that when I was still suffering from RTE PTSD.
Yes.
So I was like...
Of course, yeah. You were on a morning show.
Yeah.
And you know, this... It's really hard to describe it, but you're behind the scenes in a morning show and something happens and it's really horrible. And it's all set around with the backdrop of Me Too. But everyone is out for themselves. It is so awful.
But there's stuff that's like, the drama of a show on air it's like an iceberg. Like there's like 10 times the drama underneath, if you know what I mean. Like, I can remember having, like, full-on, absolute, like, screaming match row with somebody and then just going, hey, good morning.
Yeah, I can imagine. Right. And that's what they're like. They're not even talking to you. Like, they can't even fucking stand it. And then it's 3, 2, 1, and good morning, America. It's like, fucking hell. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure that goes on. But it's like their producers hate somebody else's producer, hate the writer for this and hate for the writer. And it's just like, oh, my God, what a cesspit of a place to work in.
And they're all trying to, like, they all hate, like, they all, this channel hate that channel, but also within the channel, they hate each other. And they're all trying to fucking stab each other in the back. And not really, but just doing whatever they have to do to hold on to their own job.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And the fucking stress, like their producer guy, who, like, looks like a homeless dude. I don't know if he ever goes home.
Yeah, brilliant.
He's, like, fucking, like, in the office from, like, 3 a.m. until, well, I don't know if he goes home. Like, it's no life. Like, it's not glamorous.
No.
Like obviously, what age was that guy, that man? He was playing, Steve Carell was playing, like, a guy in his 40s. He was obviously, clearly very, very wealthy and made a lot of money from this. doing a TV show. But Jesus Christ. Like, is it worth it?
The stuff that goes with it. No, oh my God. No. I mean, he's ruined.
But also, he ruined himself because he's a horrible man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But Jennifer Aniston has got so much money, but is so insecure.
Yeah.
Like, so humongously insecure. All of the talent is just so, the insecurity of everything. Like, he's had to get my job, the bastard. And if it goes, I won't be able to afford this anymore. They've got more money than they could ever.
I'll have to sell my one of penthouses, yes, or something.
I got to sell the place in Maine. Get rid of the dogs.
Oh, man, not the place in Maine. Shit.
Yeah, nice spot.
But yeah, it's very good. It's so real as well. Like, there's a bit in the second series. I'm not giving that away, but she's writing a book about, yes, obviously whatever happened before, and she has to ring her editor, publisher, whatever, and your one's like, it's fine, but like, you haven't mentioned your man at all. And she's like, oh, I don't really want to talk about that. And it's just like, it's real. It's so real because you're just going, like, I'm screaming at the TV going, that's all anybody gives a fuck about.
Yeah.
Stop writing about shit about. No one gives a shit about. Do you know what I mean? No one gives a shit about your Pilates routine. They want to know what they want, the dirt. They want everything. They want fucking blow by blow.
Names. And they want. Yeah.
And that's so, like, real, because there's so many people that bring it, you know, they try and write these books and bring out these books, and no one gives a shit because you read them, they go, you've left out the fucking, where's the, you know, where's the, where's most, the, yeah, like the only book I read, well, like Roy Keane was quite good. His book, he pretty much talked about everything. It was No Holds Barred. But anyway,
Roy Kent.
Oh, Kent. Oh, brilliant. Your man plays him well, actually. I think he was one of the producers, writers, possibly one of the writers, and at one point kind of said he felt bad because he was like, he wanted to say it. And I think he did say it, but he was basically going, I think I could play this part.
Yeah.
But he had
Roy,
to kind of...
The guy who plays Roy Kent.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think he might've been one of the writers. He was writing on it. And then he was like, I think I could play this part, but he felt like,
yeah. And he's a standout actor. Brilliant.
Very well. Yeah. Cause he's in Afterlife as well. I don't know if you remember him. He plays the, not Afterlife. The other one that Ricky Gervais made about the guy who lives who helps out in the home, in the old folks' home.
Oh, Derek.
Derek, yeah. So he plays the boyfriend of the woman who looks after the home. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
There you go.
I knew I'd seen him somewhere before. Yeah. Geezer. Yeah, speaking of Afterlife, I've just watched Afterlife. I'm in the middle of watching Afterlife 3. It's as good as...
Is it?
Yeah. Have you started it yet?
Haven't started Afterlife 3 yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm waiting for my missus to be available so we can watch it together.
Yeah, there's some things you have to wait for.
Yeah.
Of course, the one thing you never watch, and I always say is great, and it's back on, is the Great British Pottery Throwdown.
Now, Mike, I have watched it and I have seen it and it has been on my television, but then I haven't given enough time maybe to, I haven't stayed with it. I really like the guy who has no hair, but he still manages to comb it forward. Yeah, and he cries a lot.
Yeah, that's the bit, the crying. I thought that'd be right up your strata now, the crying.
I really like it. And I think I should like it. And I feel like I'm like, oh, here, I'll watch this now. And then it obviously just doesn't hook me or whatever. Yeah, I watched them making a cuckoo clock.
Yes. Hung on the wall, yeah.
A clock with a pendulum or something like that. Yeah. And a couple of them just didn't have the facilities to hang on the wall.
No, they didn't fucking shit with it.
But tell us about the Great British Pottery Splodge.
Well, it was mostly about, I think you get invested in the characters, you get invested in the people doing it on their little journey through pottery and whatever, but it is him, it is the man with the hair, without the hair, if you know what I mean, the kind of teddy boy kind of look, really odd fitting clothes, and when he sees something he starts crying, it's his emotion. And you almost feel like you can let go with him, you know, he's just enjoying, talk about living in the moment.
Yeah,
I mean, he really does wear his heart on his sleeve. Like, it's worth watching just one of them, just to see if you like it or not. It's not as middle class as the bakery.
The sewing bee or the bakery.
Oh, no, like the sewing bee.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah, well, of course, you're big sewers.
Yeah, but it was more to do with the people who kind of are the anchors on it. It was a very famous comedian whose name I have completely forgotten, who was the anchor on the
show. Yeah, not James Acaster, the other guy that...
No.
He's a friend of James Acaster, yes. I know, yeah.
He's from Birmingham.
You can explain it and I'll have a look.
Yeah, the sewing bee is fantastic. You got the older guy and the older woman who are the judges, and you always have some sort of comedic sort of interlude and people losing their lives over dropping stitches and stuff. It's very, very good. Well worth it. I like that sort of genre of television, but I don't like the baking program.
Oh, Joe Lycett.
Joe Lycett, yes.
And he's gone now. Sarah Pascoe is the presenter.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, Sarah Pascoe's not a good. Joe Lycett, very, very funny.
Great British Sewing Bee fans devastated as Joe Lycett quits. Yeah. Poor old Sarah. I hate that. I hate that shit, you know. But that's life.
She's good, but she's just not as good as she's not Joe. You know,
she's probably Joe glad Lycett. She's not Joe. She's probably glad.
But my last thing, if you'll allow me one more thing.
Okay? I'll indulge you, yes.
And I sent this to you, and I don't know whether you've listened to it or not. It was another BBC Sounds production. Actually, narrated by Siobhan McSweeney, who is the linker on the Great British Pottery Throwdown.
You know Siobhan McSweeney?
You know, she plays the nun in Derry Girls.
Oh, yes, Siobhan McSweeney. Of course I do. Yeah.
She's on it, but she broke her ankle during this set of Great British Pottery Throwdown thing. But anyway, she narrates a thing. I was looking for a drama because I was so upset that these two people who were recommending podcasts on the radio the other day said that radio drama is dead. I thought, you fucking idiots. So I went and looked. I went and looked at radio dramas, and it came up with this thing. I looked at through the BBC back catalogue, and I looked through the RTE back catalogue, and I just saw this thing. The House That Vanished on BBC Sounds, narrated, as I said, by Siobhan McSweeney, but it's half kind of documentary, half acted, and it tells a story of a filmmaker in the 70s, an Irish filmmaker in the 70s called Neville Presto, who went around the world making money and making documentaries about societies where sort of time was catching up with them. So modernity was coming in. So he was trying to capture them being sort of in the past, if you like, before plastics and electricity and running water got hold of them and whatever, just to sort of to cradle these and sort of keep them as an archive almost. And he ended up on Tory Island. And then he moved away for a while back to New Zealand. And he came back to Tory Island with his new wife and kids because he bought a house on Tory Island. He'd fallen in love with it and made a documentary about Tory Island. And he's going to go back to his house that he bought on Tory Island some 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
The house was gone.
It's in fucking Texas. It's in Texas. That fucking Bob guy. That Bob guy shipped it over. I know where it is.
It's in fucking Texas. I've got it out by the paddock. Yeah.
So he comes back and the house is gone and hasn't been shipped away by some Texas oil dude.
No, and two Bobs. Two Bobs don't make a right.
A few Bob for the two Bobs. Wow, okay, that sounds it. And that's the setup, is it? That's not, you haven't given away the end.
And it
that's the end.
No. that's what happened. Yeah. But it's so sad and so awful. And I know we have Sinead OD up there in Donegal.
Donegal,
Yeah, and it's all very Donegal based. Now, the accents are a little bit ropey because they get actors in to do stuff, but just let that out of your mind. Just listen to the story. Good story is a good story.
And it's called The House That Vanished.
I couldn't stop listening to it.
BBC Sounds. And were you listening to this now, Mike? Tell me, were you listening to this on your way to work, or were you just sneaking sneaking a listen every now and then, and your wife would be like, where were you?
I actually listened to this on my way to work, at work. Any time I could listen to it, I did.
Okay.
Snuck off on my lunch break one afternoon to listen to it in the car. It was riveting. I think it's only six parts, about 25 minutes each. And it's just one of those stories that kind of, Jesus, you couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
Mike, I look forward to listening to it. And before I let you go, you're off on the lash. You're off to London tomorrow.
Yes, I'm off to London tomorrow, yeah. So I've got I've got Ozark downloaded on my phone.
Nice.
So, yeah, that'll do me.
Because you're walking to London, right?
Yeah. I'm walking to Ross Lair, and then I hope to pick up a boat next Tuesday.
I'm bringing a house over to London, stone by stone. It's going to take me 5,000 trips.
In the back of a Volkswagen bed.
For a lad called Bob. Listen, enjoy your... Are you going over to see your friend? Who are you going over to see in London? Or you probably don't want to tell anybody because all those people that know you from London, they listen to the podcast and be like, why didn't you come and visit me?
I'm going to see my brother. I'm going to ostensibly to see a guy called Chris Dooley, who is 60. For a 60th birthday party. Yeah, good man. Chris is right. Yeah, he's going well, Christy. He's put a few miles on the clock, a legend in his own lunchtime.
Enjoyed life.
The funniest man you'll ever meet.
Right, funnier than you.
No, he's proper funny. He's like, I'm not funny. He's funny. He would have you in stitches from the moment you see. And he's just like, and when he gets drunk, he gets slightly cross-eyed. Which is one of his most endearing things.
I'm going to hang out with Chris. Chris Dooley or Chris Dooley? Which?
Dooley.
The good old Dooleys.
Of the Dooley clan from Limerick. Yeah.
One of the Limerick Dooleys.
Yeah. You know them lads.
Well, the Limerick Dooleys, I know.
There was a band. There was a band in the 70s called the Dooleys.
Dooleys. Yeah, it was the Dooleys. Yeah.
Yeah. They were shit.
End of podcast.
Is there a review for you?
check them out. Mike, enjoy your weekend. Lovely talking to you.
It's really good talking to you. We need to do this more often.
We do.
I feel I'm out of practice.
No, that was great. That was perfect. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I just feel I had to get a lot off my chest. I won't even let you talk.
The fucking Bob story is brilliant. Oh man.
Right.
Enjoy your weekend.
Miss you. See you. I'll try. Love you.
Bye. Bye. Goodbye. Take care.
Goodbye.
Take care. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.